What if the pressure to be completely original is the very thing killing your creativity?
For years, we've been sold a dangerous myth that true artists conjure genius from thin air, that authentic creativity means starting from nothing.
But Salvador Dali traced other artists' work.
Bob Dylan borrowed melodies without apology.
The Beatles built their sound on Elvis, who built his on blues musicians, who built theirs on field songs.
The uncomfortable truth is this: nothing is original.
Every creative work is a remix of what came before, and once you accept this, you're finally free to create.
The problem isn't that we steal, it's that we pretend we don't.
Creativity isn't about divine inspiration striking from nowhere. It's about collecting influences like treasures, combining them in ways only you can, and transforming them through your unique sensibility.
Your job isn't to be original.
It's to be honest about what moves you and brave enough to mix those influences into something that reflects your particular obsessions.
Think of Quentin Tarantino. His films are essentially collages of martial arts movies, spaghetti westerns, and exploitation flicks, yet they're unmistakably his.
He doesn't hide his theft. He celebrates it. Begin by copying your heroes.
Not to plagiarize, but to learn.
Musicians play other people's songs before composing their own.
Writers imitate favorite authors before developing their voice.
Copy not just one influence, but many. And here's where the magic happens. Your imitations will be imperfect.
Those mistakes, the ways you deviate because of your limitations or misunderstandings, become your signature.
Leonard Cohen wasn't technically the best singer, but his limitations created his distinctive sound.
Your flaws are your style, waiting to emerge.
You don't discover your identity and then create. You create to discover your identity. David Bowie didn't fully understand Ziggy Stardust before creating him. The character revealed itself through experimentation. Maya Angelou, after publishing her 11th book, still worried someone would discover she was a fraud. Everyone feels like an imposter. The difference between professionals and amateurs isn't the absence of fear, it's the willingness to create despite it. That gap you notice in books, movies, or art, that missing piece you long for, is precisely what you should create. When Toni Morrison couldn't find books reflecting her experience as a Black woman, she wrote them herself. Creativity springs from what's absent, not what exists. Ask yourself, what do I keep searching for but can't find? What perspective is being overlooked? The answers reveal what you value, and what you value is what you should create. Creation isn't just about making things, it's about making meaning.
Stepping away from screens to engage physically with creative work activates different neural pathways. Computers excel at editing, but can paralyze creation with infinite possibilities. Starting with analog methods, pen on paper, hands in clay, body in motion, introduces helpful constraints. Consider separating your workspace: an analog desk with notebooks and pencils for messy exploration, a digital desk for refinement and distribution. Stanford research shows walking increases creative output by 60%. Darwin had a daily thinking path. Nietzsche wrote, "All truly great thoughts are conceived while walking." Your body contains wisdom your conscious mind can't access. When stuck, physical movement, walking, dancing, gardening, often unlocks solutions. Draw your ideas, even badly. Cut and paste physical images. Walk and dictate thoughts. Moving through space literally moves your thinking forward, creating connections your sedentary mind couldn't forge.
Twitter began as a side project at a podcasting company. Post-it notes emerged from a scientist's bookmark experiment. Gmail was an engineer's 20% time project. Major breakthroughs often come not from main work, but from side ventures that create productive procrastination, letting your subconscious solve problems while you play elsewhere. They cross-pollinate thinking. The most interesting innovations happen at field intersections. Your weekend photography might influence presentation structure. Your coding hobby might transform music composition. When stuck on a project, switch to another creative pursuit instead of scrolling social media. This keeps creative muscles engaged while providing mental scenery changes. Pursue hobbies without professional pressure. Do something purely for love, without expectation of mastery or monetization. This pure play state often generates your most original thinking. What seemingly unrelated activities could you bring together? What abandoned hobby might refresh your thinking? Permission to play without purpose paradoxically produces your most purposeful insights.
Fame seems desirable until you realize its creative costs. When no one knows your work, you have freedom to experiment, fail, and evolve without scrutiny. Obscurity isn't punishment. It's a temporary laboratory for developing your voice. The Beatles played 8 hours daily in Hamburg clubs where few paid attention, giving them thousands of hours to develop their sound before the spotlight found them. The internet tempts us to share work before it's ready. Resist this. Keep some projects private until they've developed. Create a secret laboratory where you can experiment without consequence. Share your work with a small, trusted circle who can provide feedback without public pressure. When you do share widely, focus on being generous rather than self-promotional. Share your process, your influences, your discoveries. The best way to get noticed is to be genuinely useful and interesting. What experiments could you run now that would be impossible once more eyes are on your work?
The chaotic genius myth makes compelling fiction, but terrible reality. Sustainable creativity requires unglamorous foundations: routine, stability, health, financial prudence. Hemingway wrote sober in the mornings. Beethoven walked daily at the same time. Maya Angelou rented hotel rooms for 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. writing sessions. Routine doesn't constrain creativity, it enables it by removing decision fatigue and creating psychological safety. Establish daily practice. Even 15 minutes builds momentum and identity. Prioritize sleep, movement, nutrition. These aren't separate from creative work, but foundational to it. Your brain is physical. Neglecting health diminishes creative capacity. Be financially strategic. The starving artist ideal serves no one. William Carlos Williams practiced medicine. Philip Glass drove taxis. Day jobs provide stability, connection, and material. Create a bliss station, a physical space and time dedicated solely to creative work. Even a room corner for one morning hour builds powerful psychological momentum. Protect this space fiercely.
Creativity isn't about inspiration. It's about showing up. Start a daily logbook, tracking dates, places, people, and activities. These mundane details become your creative map. Build a swipe file of inspiring material. Share something small daily, a sketch, paragraph, photograph, to build completion habits and grow your body of work. Join or create a community. The lone genius is a myth. Creativity thrives in scenius, scenes of mutual appreciation and healthy competition that elevate everyone. Find your people and meet regularly. Remember, creativity is practice, not perfection. Beginners face a gap between taste and ability that closes only through volume. The world needs you to embrace your influences, turn limitations into style, and make the work only you can make. Your voice already exists in the work you're avoiding. Stop apologizing and begin.